Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so the Philadelphia Phillies hold a press conference about Ryan Howard's medical treatment.
Or Kevin, the way they Kevin handled it anyway.
Kevin, by the way, is wondering if the Ruben Amaro has something to hide.
Oh, listen, the only way you address this is if you are hiding something.
By the way, our show being brought to you by, if there's any person on the face of the earth that needs insurance, it's Kevin and his family. Purdy Insurance, located on Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay, so Ryan Howard, here is Yonder's story. The Phillies are accused of secrecy regarding Ryan Howard. Ruben Amaro plays defense. Okay? They say that Bob Brookover reported how he was removed from the Bright House Field in Clearwater last week while trying to cover Ryan Howard's rehab, and Frank Fitzpatrick, whom I know, questioned the Phillies giving Howard a cortisone shot in September and quotes medical experts who suggest that the shot could have contributed to Howard's Achilles injury in the playoffs. Obviously, both were shots over the Phillies' bow, with the first one accusing the team of secrecy and then the second one was notable in the fact that the Phillies declined comment. In response, Ruben Amaro had a hastily assembled press conference yesterday in which he defended the team. The upshot, they said, Amaro says the team is conservative with cortisone shots and that they're not concerned. As for keeping the media out of Howard's rehab, both the Inquirer and CSN Philly have been barred from covering his workouts. Well, the rationale is somewhat less clear. Amaro said, quote, we just feel comfortable with it, uncomfortable with it. Would rather be able to report those things. I don't feel comfortable putting the player in the position right now. We're not trying to hide things, Amaro said. That's not our job. Our job is to have the best interest of the player in mind, and we want to make sure that he gets ready at his own pace. When you have people getting involved in a rehab such as this, it can, in fact, affect the player. So given that most other teams allow players to watch workouts during at spring training facilities, this explanation is not satisfying. So we don't want to let the press in because we don't want to let the press in. This is not the first time the Phillies have been cagey with injuries and rehab. Chase Utley's situation had its own lack of transparency too, though many chalk that up to Utley's wishes, not the team's. It's unclear whether Howard's situation is the same or it's indicative of the Phillies consciously taking a different approach to such matters than other teams. Well, here's what's odd about it. In 2012, I mean, I could see in 20 years ago, let's say 20 years ago, newspapers had more money, more influence. We all know the newspaper influence and money has been dying. Papers are dying left and right. Not many people, not many organizations send people to cover such things. So here's a group, that the Inquirer, that sends somebody down along with CSN Philly to get a look. Because money's tight these days, and they still did it. They still took the time to do it. Look, if the guy's not ready, the guy's not ready. What, I mean, I guess what the Phillies may be trying to hide is getting to a point where, for example, they want to go to Boston and talk to Kevin Youkilis, who can play either first or third, and say, look, we'd like to get Youkilis, and the Red Sox hold him up for highway robbery, knowing that Howard's not going to be available. How about that logic?
Well, I understand that, but my question is, why would Ruben Amaro throw this media conference together on a Sunday to address this if they weren't trying to hide something? If you're not trying to hide something, why have a big media conference? I just send out an email that says, listen, we just did it for this reason. See ya. Talk to you on Monday. But they made a big deal about it, which I think makes it a big deal.
Yeah, they did make a big deal out of it.
Makes you wonder, are they trying to hide something because they made a big deal about it?
Well, they're not letting him cover it. That's a big deal.
And remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Ruben Amaro having a consistently, downplaying injuries. Well, guess what? The Worley injury now may be a bone chip in his elbow and may need surgery at the end of the year. But yet, when that started, the retroactive DL move, it was not a big deal. It was kind of precautionary.
Yeah, but they might not, for example, have known at that point what was in there. They may not have had the MRI results.
I understand that, but again, it's typical the Phillies downplaying an injury and then maybe in this case trying to downplay the time that Howard needs to come back.
Look, I know, for example, that people want instant gratification on injuries, like any story. Sometimes it takes time to figure it out, so you're cautious at first because you just don't know what it is. Now, when it comes to rehabbing something, an injury like this, look, he ruptured an Achilles. To me, the story that I think probably has them uptight is that they gave him cortisone shots.
Yeah, that's really worrisome.
Okay, that's the part that I think they felt they had to respond to. You know, when the injury happened and you found out the next day it was a ruptured Achilles, I know what my thought was. He's out the whole year. That's what I thought. Although I felt that way about Dan Persa, too. Dan Persa had that injury, and to his credit, came back.
Well, let me throw this the other direction now. Now, I'm, of course, speculating that there might be more to it than the Phillies are willing to say, but let's look at it from the other side. Is it the Inquirer trying to make a story out of nothing, quoting medical personnel that cortisone shots could compromise the strength of a tendon? Are they trying to make a story now that maybe isn't there?
I don't know. I just know as the season goes along and he's not playing, and the fact the Phillies are not getting great offensive production out of the first base spot, they also don't want to give up the farm in order to get somebody. So they keep playing the Ryan Howard will be back card, be back, be back, be back. Then you start inquiring about Kevin Youkilis, for example, because Will Middlebrooks is playing pretty well for the Red Sox. And Middlebrooks is the future. You don't want to be in a spot where suddenly you go to Boston and Boston says, well, we'd like four players.
Well, but Boston isn't, they're informed enough to realize that Howard was supposed to be back in, as early as late April, as early as mid-May, as early as June.
Yeah, but that I told you, the common sense tells you no.
I understand.
He ruptured his Achilles. There's right. No way he's going to be able to play the first half of the season. Common sense tells you that.
And that's exactly my point. Now, no matter what you're trying, whether you're trying to hide that information from the Red Sox so you don't have to give up the farm system to get Youkilis, the Red Sox already know that. They know what the injury was. They know it's going to be a long time for him to return.
I mean, the Red Sox don't have to do anything either. They're actually starting to play decently right now. As you saw, for the Red Sox, they're in a similar situation. They don't have Jacoby Ellsbury, who was a legitimately great player. They don't have Carl Crawford yet. May not get him till August. Euclid has been out. They haven't had Daisuke Matsuzaka. That's addition by subtraction. And they haven't had Bailey, their closer. They haven't had their closer all year. They haven't had one game yet with their legitimate closer. Sevis is not the closer. He's the setup guy. So that's, you know, if they're hiding anything, there's a little gamesmanship going on right now with the Phillies. And the reason there's gamesmanship going on is because I think they're worried about what they have and what they don't have. And they don't have him right now, and they don't have Utley right now. And you know what? I have a funny feeling that I don't even think the Phillies know when either one of them is going to be back. That's why nobody knows.
Well, I think it's funny that one of the last things in that the Phillies have said officially is that they have no official timetable for Howard's return. They've been moving it and moving it and moving it, and now it's like we have no official timetable.
He ruptured his Achilles.
I know. I understand. But
that... I'm saying, he ruptured his Achilles. I mean, when you do that, you're out a long, long time, especially you're a man that size.
And then the question you have to ask is, what's the deal with Chase Utley? We talked about this last week. Why is he up with the big club if he's close to returning, but yet we don't see him taking ground balls? All he's doing is kind of hitting around a little bit.
Yeah, he took ground balls last week.
Yeah, he finally did. I think that's why a lot of skepticism is coming out now about the Phillies and their injury reports, because you got two premier guys on the DL right now, and no word of what's going on with them.
Well,
and you're also 500 in last place. That doesn't help the situation either.
And it's not a bitter TV market.
No, all right. Not at all.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. If Major League Baseball expands interleague play, would it make sense to use the DH in the National League on a full-time basis? I felt this the whole time. I don't want to watch a pitcher hit.
Get rid of the DH. You won't have the problem.
I don't want to watch pitchers hit.
Should we have the DH in Little League then, too?
They have the DH everywhere else. The DH is in college baseball. The DH is in minor league baseball. The DH is in Babe Ruth baseball. Now, the reason you don't have it in Little League, for example, is because usually, you know, your top pitcher is usually your best player.
That's true.
Okay? That's the reason why.
Probably the same thing in high school, too.
In high school, too, in all likelihood.
Legion ball and that sort of thing.
But in college baseball, you don't have you have a designated hitter. College baseball is the DH. Minor league baseball is the DH. In the New York Penn League, not one pitcher hits. And nobody, not one. Williamsport plays State College. They're both National League teams. DH.
The International League, though, does it weird because sometimes there's a DH and sometimes there isn't.
Well, it depends on if you're home or away with an American League franchise.
How's that work with the Yankees when they don't have a home stadium? No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, half the games have to be there, so. But that's why.
You make all good points when it comes to the DH. You make all good points. The problem is, I just like the tradition of the pitcher hitting.
Well, guess what? I like, you know, it used to be traditional. There was no three-point shot in college basketball. Guess what revolutionized the game? Well, guess what is the fun play in college basketball now? Three-point shot. You make changes. You adapt.
That's probably the best point you've made to convince me otherwise. I must admit, that one makes me think a little bit more about this. Because I agree, I get what you're saying there totally. The three-point shot made a huge difference in all levels.
I mean, the NBA didn't have the three-point shot. It's always other leagues that come in, for example, and when they bring things in, for example, the two-point conversion in the NFL. The two-point conversion in the NFL didn't exist until the AFL did it. Then when the USFL did it, the challenge flag that you see, that's a USFL thing. Two-point conversion was the AFL and college football. Then it was college football and USFL, and then the NFL adopted the two-point conversion. Great. Challenge flag for instant replay, USFL invention. Three-point shot, ABA. ABA had that. They brought it to the NBA, then eventually college basketball had it. You adapt to make the game better, if possible.
I will concede this particular part as with this DH discussion. If you have interleague games, I think that should be this way actually for the series as well, for the World Series too. If you have an American League team playing, you should be playing with the DH no matter what. Here's why. I think it is a disadvantage for the American League team to not have the DH. I don't think it's a disadvantage to the National League team to bring in another hitter.
Oh no, the National League has all the advantages in the World Series. They just don't win it that much.
I absolutely agree that if you're gonna have interleague play or even the World Series, that the DH has to be in play in every single game.
I relate the story to you last year. David Ortiz came to the plate as a pinch hitter because he couldn't play in the field because Adrian Gonzalez is a better first baseman, and Adrian Gonzalez at that point was also a better hitter. So he has to pinch hit. He comes up to pinch hit. The whole play stopped. Everything stopped because I was literally at the concession stand to start the inning. And all of a sudden, boom, I watched everybody crowd up. And all eyes were there because David Ortiz was taking his raps at the plate. And the fans who don't get to see David Ortiz every day had everything trained on him. And guess what? He took the first pitch, turned on it, and he hit it into the river. It was foul, but he hit it into the river. And the place went berserk. Oohs and ahs. Instead of seeing David Ortiz hit over a three-day series in Pittsburgh, they got to watch Andrew Miller get more at-bats. Really? That's good for the fans? That's good for the game? I don't think so.
Well, at least the All-Star Game decides home field advantage for the World Series.
That's my point. I mean, it's like you have to do things for the fans. Fans want to see certain things. I'm sorry. I mean, nobody in the National League is going to convince me that they're excited when the pitcher hits. I mean, come on.
I'm only excited about the strategy involved.
Oh. A dog could do a double switch.
Not the double switch part.
Come on.
No.
I did double switches in Babe Ruth ball, for goodness sakes. That takes about as much thought as putting on a wristwatch.
All right.
You know, I mean, come on. All the strategy involved with what?
Not the double switch. The strategy of getting of the bunt. The bunt is the suicide squeeze is almost non-existent in Major League Baseball anymore. It's called small ball. I like small ball. I also like the long home run, too. So, you know, but.
I did a game with Michigan, Penn State, Michigan. All right?
Okay.
We watched Michigan manufacture a run, and then we did a package on how to manufacture a run, which included a suicide squeeze to get him home. Okay?
Lost art.
All right. The game had a DH. We'll come back with more in a moment on WKOK.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon.
And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, where you can use our Black Book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
I am the modern man.
How dare Mark Lawrence promote his show on this one? I don't understand. What's next? Us promoting our show on the Mark?
Maybe. Oh, wait, we already did that a couple of weeks or about a week or two ago.
I confused the poor guy that day.
You did. He's like, who? Who's on the phone?
He said, "Look, guys, long time listener, first time caller.
Brady, best ever? Who's Brady?
Brady? Brady, best ever?
Brady, what? I used to watch that show every afternoon.
Yeah, let's see. Vince Welsh will be on the show Wednesday to talk about the Indianapolis 500. Right now, Kevin is so excited.
I'm going to be ready for tomorrow at 9 a.m.
He's on the show tomorrow?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's on the show tomorrow.
Tremendous. That's just great.
I am so excited.
Well, he's on at 3:06 tomorrow, too.
Correct. Right out of the gate, baby.
You probably will want to replay this.
All week long.
On Friday.
All week long.
You and Vince talking about the smell of ethanol in the morning.
Ethanol in the morning.
Sarah Parlin and I, the only two insane people in the building. She's next with WKOK News.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Purdy Insurance is our Monday sponsor. They're the best. Located on Market Street in Sunbury. And also, you can go online at purdyinsurance.com. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Stan Van Gundy, gone.
See ya.
How's the head coach with the Orlando Magic, along with general manager Otis Smith? So that coup d'etat, which ESPN will cover, let's see, what sports center? It's in an hour. I would think since a big NBA story like that, it'll take up about 52 minutes.
They'll have a special report after a sports center as well, going in depth.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Behind the lines.
Absolutely. And Bill Stewart, the former West Virginia coach, who basically had his job stolen from him, passed away at the age of 59 today of a heart attack. He had resigned last summer, was replaced by Dana Holgorsen that same night. And so Bill Stewart, the former coach, they said he was golfing at the time and had an apparent heart attack. And passed away. So, tragic story in sports. Bill's only 59 years old, too. Lakers, Oklahoma City tonight. Thunder up 3-1. Celtics, Sixers, game 5. Celtics get an extra day's rest And for an older team, that helps. The best team in the NBA is still San Antonio. They're 8-0 in the playoffs. They've won 31 of their last 33. But the Magic and Knicks get more headlines. Remember, winning isn't as much fun when it's actually done efficiently. And Heat and Pacers tied at 2 games apiece. Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Devils and Rangers at the Rock tonight at the Prudential Center in Newark. John Tortorello gave a 2-minute and 16-second press conference after game two, where he said yes and no to a lot of questions, was so mad at the Devils and their coach, Peter DeBoer, that he went out and actually had like a legitimate long press conference because he had a message to get out. Phillies play tonight with Kyle Kendrick on the mound this evening as they take on Washington. Gio Gonzalez will go tonight for the Nationals. And the Pirates play tonight against the Mets. And you have two pitchers in that game tonight who have a combined record of 3-8 or 3-7. Yoan Santana and Eric Bedard. But Santana's a 2.89 ERA and Bedard's 3.07. So they play tonight. Kyle Kendrick, who had a very good outing last time out against the Cubs, will get the ball tonight. Kevin is mad at the Phillies because Vance Worley may have bone chips in his elbow. So the Phillies were too slow to disclose. He doesn't like Chase Utley working out with the big club. And he doesn't like the fact that Ryan Howard has a ruptured Achilles, and for some reason, for a man his size, is taking too long to come back.
It's not completely true, but some of it is true.
Which parts, Captain Bitter?
The part where I don't think they're being upfront about the injuries.
You say they withhold things.
Let's just say they're not being forthcoming about the injuries to fans.
I say.
Let's just say that.
You're saying no transparency.
So I'm not even looking for transparency. Just some glimmer of what's going on would be nice. In other words, if you have him on your fantasy team, should you drop him?
Yes. I could have told you that.
Probably before the draft.
At the end of spring training, my goodness. Guy's playing fewer and fewer games every year. What do you think? You're envisioning 162 out of him? The other guy's a ruptured Achilles. I'm sorry. If he were to play in August, I'd be surprised. Okay?
I'm not far from what you're saying, the way it sounds now. But
the way I watched the guy in October go down. He ruptured his Achilles. Right. You don't come back in April from it.
But don't tell me you're going to be back. Don't tell me he's going to be back in late April. Don't tell me he's going to be back in May. Tell me he's going to be back at best in June, July, or August. And then if he comes back early, I feel good about it. Don't tell me he's going to be back tomorrow when he's going to be back in 6 months. And the same thing with Worley. Don't tell me that it's just, it's just got a sore elbow. Yeah, there's a bone floating around in there. No wonder why he's got a sore elbow.
You're the kind of guy where gas prices work. If we get gas prices to $3.99 and then suddenly you're paying $3.59, you feel better. $3.59 still stinks.
It is, okay. But at least it's better.
Yeah, it is not.
No, I'm the type of guy that fills up at half a tank, spends $20 instead of $40, and feels like I'm getting a good deal.
Oh, boy. 1-800-795-9565. Back to the Penn State scheduling for a moment for football. They released the 15-16 schedules today. And the non-conference part's the part that I think people look at right away. I think they know that, you know, first of all, you know, there are six automatics on the schedule. There's six automatics, everybody in your division plus Nebraska. So who rotates on and off? Okay. They'll be 13-14. It's Michigan, and Minnesota rolling on. Iowa next chance. 2013, it's Syracuse, which we've already known at MetLife at the Meadowlands. Eastern Michigan in the home opener. Virginia in the return of the home and away. And then Kent State home. 2014, it's Temple here, Akron here, at Rutgers. As I mentioned before, they replaced Nebraska. And then UMass in 2014 at home. And that gives you one Big East. That gives you two Big East and two MACs. 2015, Buffalo, Rutgers, a TBA, and at Temple. Two Big East, a MAC, and a TBA. 16, Kent State, at Pitt, Temple, TBA. So you have, in 16, you'll have a MAC, an ACC, and a Big East. So that's what you have non-conference. Everything I explained the conference part already. It was pretty, the conference part's easy to explain. All right, numbers 1-800-795-9565, and then 17, the Pac-12 part is supposed to kick in, and those will be home and aways. Those will be home and aways. Whether Penn State starts in 17 or not, I don't know. I think Penn State actually can start in 17, the way I understand their schedule. Now, in the scheduling model, based on the number of sports that you have, seven home games is huge. You can pick up a school in 15 and 16 for that open date of, say, pick somebody. Pick a Florida State, for example. You could play them home and away, and you're guaranteed seven home games 1 year, but you're only going to have six another year. That may end up being the kind of schedule where, especially that fourth weekend of the season, right? You don't really like to put Alabama in that spot before you start the Big Ten, idealistically. Most schools do not play Alabama and LSU in the fourth week of the season. Those are the two dates that are open for Penn State in 15 and 16. Our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Now, you can do something, for example. Penn State in 2008 had Arkansas State in there. They bought them out and brought in Oregon State for a one game only that upgraded Penn State's 2008 schedule. In fact, Oregon State at the end of the year played so well that they were a win away from a rematch with Penn State in the Rose Bowl. That's how close it was. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. You okay there?
Yeah, I'm fine. I was looking at...
You're just dreaming of Vince Wells.
I was looking at another interesting topic, race-oriented. Was the NASCAR All-Star race, which has always been a very popular race.
Jimmy Johnson dogs it for 20 laps.
I mean, the new format just set itself up. If you won the first segment, it was four 20-lap segments and then a 10-lap, sprint to the finish. And if you won the segments, you'd be 1 through 4 in that final segment. Well, once Jimmy Johnson won the first segment, he just coasted for the other three segments until the final segment. I mean, that whole format, nobody looked at that format and went, you know what? I bet if they win the first segment, they'll just want to, play it safe and be at the back of the field for the next couple so that they're ready for that 10-lap race. Yes, that's what's going to happen. Even I can figure that out. It was the dumbest idea in NASCAR.
The dumbest idea in NASCAR?
The dumbest idea in NASCAR.
Really?
All right, maybe that's exaggerating a little bit, but I like the 10-lap sprint to the finish. I mean, that's a cool idea. That's what the whole thing was. It was supposed to be the Saturday night short track type of idea. But after you won that first lap, and you were the number one spot when you won the first segment, you won the second segment, you'd be 2, 3, and 4. Well, Well, it's already set up that everybody races the first 20 laps and then just kicks back and relaxes for the next three segments.
What a dumb idea. I was just trying to...
You just wanted to play along? Is that what it was?
Show it was my support for you.
It was a dumb idea. I don't think you'll see it next year. It's almost as dumb as when IndyCar last year had the two races in separate segments. I think it was in Texas.
Yeah, I remember.
Dumb idea.
Look, you experiment a little bit. You play around a little bit. I understand that.
I mean, I think the IndyCar one was a little dumber than this because then after you won the first segment, you got to go up and pick a tire. And when they spun around the tire, that's where you would actually start. So, I mean, if you're running for a championship in the middle to late end of the season and you really raced well in the first race and now the second race is coming up, which is also a points like a regular race, they were handled like two separate races point-wise, you turned the tire and it was 20, well, guess what? That's your starting place. Good luck. Right. Hope everything works out in those 25, 35 laps. I think it was like 50, but again, another dumb idea in racing.
Huh. Now, what do you like? Do you like road course, ovals?
I like street circuits. I mean, I like ovals, don't get me wrong, but if I had my choice between road courses and street circuits, I like street circuits. They're not normally, you know, raced on. They're driven on. That's what makes them interesting. Because you have changes in the pitch of the road. Sometimes it could be something they've had to pave over, like normally a pothole. They'd had to pave over that a little bit to smooth it out for the race cars. So you have some issues there. You have different types of roads. Some are asphalt, some are cement. So you have it's a challenge that way. I like the street circuits.
We'll come back with a final segment in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and also at purdyinsurance.com. Back with more after this. Love the Gaga.
I wish she had more songs that had a little bit longer intro so we could play more Gaga for you.
Love the fact we're having Vince Welsh on tomorrow from ESPN talking about the Indianapolis 500. Yeah.
Just trying to get your right mindset for it.
Here's one for you. Went by twice. All right.
Almost sounds like that now with the new turbochargers.
Yeah. So there you go. That is tomorrow. That should be a great guest to talk about the greatest spectacle in racing. Even though they're going around in circles, and Kevin doesn't like cars that go in circles.
No, I'll watch every second of this race.
How about I'll have another? How about that?
I was going to ask you about
that. Chance to win the Triple Crown. I still say Union Rags beats him in the Belmont because of distance.
What was the problem with Bodemeister this time? Your thought.
This was a shorter race.
I thought it was a lock for him at that point.
The other horse is better.
All right.
I mean, seriously. I mean, that's what it comes down to. The other horse is better. Sometimes it's...
Trying to remember, how much did they purchase? I'll have another four. It was a ridiculously low price, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
I'll try and find that because I was going to do the math. Maybe I'll do this for tomorrow. I'll figure out the math of how much profit they'll make if I'll Have Another actually wins the Triple Crown and had won no other races before that.
All I know is that the horse, I think it's just a case the horse is just better. Because it's not as if Bodemeister has not had an uninterrupted trip in two races. The horse has gone out to the front. The horse has run its race and has finished second twice.
Yeah, Buzz just called in. I'm sorry, Steve. Buzz just called in to tell me it was 10,000. I thought it was 11, but paid 10 grand for I'll Have Another.
Well, I'll tell you right now, after winning the first two, when it comes to being a sire, I'll Have Another be having another and another and another. I can tell you that.
I'll Have Another earned $1.5 million just yesterday alone.
Right. I know.
Not a bad deal.
I mean, there's no. I just think the reason that Bodemeister hasn't won is the other horse is better. You know, I'll Have Another's never lost yet. I'll Have Another has never lost. I also think that I'll Have Another, while never losing, and I think the horse is, I'm going to say it's 5-0 now. I'll Have Another has run fewer races and may have more race in him. Compared to Bodemeister. It could very well be.
Yeah, I'll Have Another as 4-0 this year alone.
Then I think that may be all the races. I don't know if I'll Have Another race as a 2-year-old. I don't think it did. Amazing. Now, Union Rags, getting 5 weeks between starts, I think may be good for that horse. And that horse has stamina. That's why I said before the Preakness, I'll maintain it all the way up. Union Rags spoils the party. We'll see.
Well, at least we have a Belmont now that's, you know, people are going to be interested in.
It is interesting because what the last one that has shot at was Big Brown. In 2008, right?
Yeah, I think that was the last. Yeah, that'd be 08, yeah. I just was thinking about, you know, you and Dick Girardi on Friday on they're talking about how boring this race was going to be, and it turned out to be a shocker for everybody.
Well, no, he had Bodemeister and I'll Have Another 1-2. Okay? He just thought Bodemeister would win and I'll Have Another was going to be second. It was just flipped. I mean, he had the right two horses in the mix.
But the question is, did he box it?
Of course he did. He always does. Each Big Ten school, by the way, gets a record $24.6 million in shared revenue. Illinois Athletic Department put that out. Each school is going to get $7.2 million from the Big Ten network. That's a drop from last year's 7.9. However, the contracts with ESPN, ABC, CBS will result in $10 million per school, a 22% increase over last year. Nebraska, which is competing for the first time in the Big Ten, does not get a full share yet. $22.8 million in 2011, $24.6 million in 2012. And the Big Ten paid out $18.7 million in 2008. Amazing. The Southeastern Conference was second, by the way, at $19.5 million. Vince Welsh is on the show tomorrow from ESPN to talk about the Indianapolis 500. The question is, will Kevin even sleep a wink tonight?
Nope.
I know I will. I like Vince. I think he does a great job.